The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
And good afternoon. Welcome to The Dory Monson Show. You are astute. This is not Dory. This is Jason Matera filling in for Dory today. Dory is, well, according to Twitter, he's out fishing. I know he said it yesterday on the show. And he caught a massive salmon.
I know. I
checked it out, Nicole, before.
I'm impressed it was successful because last year I went fishing and, I mean, we were out there for 2 days and we caught a few, but not a lot of keepers. And
well, this
it
is
took
a keeper.
Us a full day to catch one and he got one in the first hour.
He got a keeper. Is he now? He's going to bring it in and share, spread the wealth around here?
I doubt it.
Omega-3 rich fatty acid.
Uh-huh. You know what's funny is he doesn't even like fish. He won't eat it.
He doesn't like salmon?
No.
No?
Uh-uh. He doesn't eat seafood.
What is he doing? Just for the hobby
fishing
of fishing?
For the experience is something. I actually don't like salmon either, but I'll go salmon fishing because the experience.
Okay. So you don't eat. I know you don't like. I can understand. Uh-huh. Salmon is very fishy. It can be an acquired taste. But what about just fish in general? You don't like?
Well, I'll eat most white fish like cod or halibut, stuff like that. But I'm not a big salmon fan or any other seafood.
No.
No.
Okay. I mean, they are rich in some.
I know, and I grew up in a fishing town. I'm such a trader.
I'm not a big. I eat fish because I'm supposed to.
It's
one of those things. It is healthy, right? You get older, you realize the things like kale and other.
I can't do kale though.
If you like, put it in smoothies and just grind it up with other stuff like bananas and you know, it's kind of
the texture. I do not enjoy.
I tried giving it to my kids though. And they did what you would expect a toddler to do. They spit it out.
Uh-huh. In what form did you give it to them?
Well, I steamed it and put some olive oil and salt
gross.
On it. That's what I was. I know. What I should have been.
Good
what,
try.
What result
effort.
Should I have been expecting? But that has happened. Oh, but Nicole, it's so good to see you after a year.
Know.
I'm back here in the saddle.
And I'm in studio. I've been here twice in the last year and a half.
I feel a little bit like a dungeon atmosphere. There's the plexiglass.
Uh-huh. Here, it's a little different.
A little different. But, uh-huh. I guess the new normal now here at Cairo. But it's great to be back here. A little bit about myself before we just hitch the next 3 hours together. Hopefully, I am a journalist. I've covered politics for many, many years in Washington, D.C. and here in the Pacific Northwest. True crime. I've also done that for Warner Brothers as a television correspondent. I'm an author. And now, Nicole, this is a project I'm going to be telling you about once it has the green light. Cross my fingers. But I'm sort of dabbling in a limited documentary series.
Okay.
So it's so anyway.
You can't tell us what it's.
I can't really do that now.
Okay.
But I just to tell the audience.
Okay.
I've had my hands in multiple platforms in media, and politics over the years, and talk radio as well, filling in for Dory and others. Over the last decade, and I love the talk radio format because it is the most intimate format. It really is, and you have to. You have to know what you're talking about, right? Because you have not 3 hours of these commercials, but you have certainly 2 hours to fill of content, and you form this bond and develop a relationship. And I love as a filling in for Dory because I'm a listener. You know, if I'm in the car, I'm definitely tuning into Dory between noon and three. And Dory has, Nicole, I think he has the most unique voice on talk radio.
Oh.
Okay. I really do. And I have heard so many radio hosts over the year travel. Every time I'm on the road for work, I listen to the local radio host. And Dory, by far, there are other people who come on and I'm like, yeah, that person sounds familiar. I've seen them on television. I've heard them in another place. If Dory comes on, wherever he is, I can be in Arkansas, let's say, and he's not in Arkansas, but I can just hypothetically. I'm in Arkansas and I hear Dory Monson's voice.
I
know it's Dory.
Mm-hmm.
So he definitely has the most unique radio voice, I think. But also, I admire, I'm not just saying this, I actually have only spent a few minutes with Dory, you know, over the years, right? Because if I'm filling in for him, he's not here, so I'm not talking to him. And if I'm filling in for another host on another station in the building, I only greet him and have small talk. But I admire Dory's conviction. I really do. This man who will say things which I don't think are too controversial at all, like basic stuff. I'm not going to get into it now. But, and he will welcome the inevitable blowback. from people in Seattle who love to boast about their tolerance and their diversity and their inclusion efforts, and yet somebody offers a different opinion, an opinion that, you know, has sort of been here for the tale of human history, and oh my goodness, what a hateful man. And Dory doesn't care. He's cheerful, he's smart, he's funny, and he has principle, and I really love that about him, and so it's always an honor for me to work on this show. And even, you know, I gotta say that the drive coming over here, it was a typical Seattle drive. Typical Seattle drive.
And you don't even have to hit the freeway, right?
I don't. And typical Seattle drive, how many broken down RVs do you think I passed?
Oh, wow. You know what? I haven't driven through the city in a long time.
Okay,
I've
dozens.
Driven on the freeway, but not on.
Dozens of broken down RVs. Yes, I know. Typically, you're great.
They
picturesque.
Were fixing them up. I thought there was a program to fix them up.
There's always a program. Mm-hmm. I don't know where the money goes. There's always a program. Dozens of RVs. And of course, I saw a lot of encampments. You know, you see the encampment and the trash, just the trash and drug paraphernalia and the needles and just, you know, overflowing into the streets, occupying public spaces, and the billboards that told me that racism is a public health crisis. Public health crisis. Now, I had to wear a mask to come into the newsroom today, right? That's still the protocol here.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I had the mask on because I would not want to catch racism, right? Is it respiratory? It's a public health crisis. I saw it on the Seattle billboard, massive billboard on Fairview, just coming over here. I don't want to catch racism. If it's in the air, you don't want to do that. Public health crisis. Anyway, it's great to be with you. My name is Jason Matera, and with that, we are going to lead up to the big lead.
The big lead, big local.
Okay, big local, and of course, I don't know why I shut my computer. I shouldn't have shut my computer for this one. Speaking of my picturesque drive here, and what we all know is debilitating the city of Seattle, specifically the downtown corridor, is the vagrancy, the crime, and Jenny Durkin is out at a press conference talking about we are going to have this. It's downtown revitalization during the summer. They have events that are going on in the summer months, like martial arts demonstrations and clown stuff for kids and, you know, food. And it's just going to be a wonderful time to juice up the local economy in the downtown corridor that has been decimated. And Jenny Durkin, she explained this great new program in her eyes this way.
To continue the momentum that we have building, being the first city in America to get to 70% vaccination rate, we're now over 80%, to really focus our work on not just building back, but building back more equitably and just.
Oh, yeah.
To continue this momentum, the city, together with our partners, the Downtown Seattle Association, will launch Welcome Back Weeks. These are going to be 2 weeks of events, performances, promotions happening downtown Seattle in July and September. It's going to be fun. People join in.
And it's going to be equitable. Just you make sure you caught that one. It's going to be equitable. It's going to be fun, but equitable. So the fun can't eclipse the equity, because if that happens, you know, racism. So here is some interesting language that Durkin used to talk about these weeks in the summer, I guess, leading up to the fall, too, of fun. They're pumping in $300,000, by the way, for these events. And here is how she cast these events.
With Welcome Back Weeks, we want to think beyond one-time events. We want to recreate and rebirth our areas in the downtown and in our neighborhoods.
We want to recreate and rebirth. Interesting phraseology. We want to rebirth and recreate the areas, the neighborhoods in our downtown corridor. But you know what's interesting, Nicole, I have nothing against these events, these family events. I personally will not go to them, and I'm going to tell you why in a second. But recreate and rebirth. Nothing do we see here from Jenny Durkin or a city official on why downtown is dilapidated and virtually a ghost town, right? Except for, oh, you know, the tents and the crime and you see boarded up and the riots that took place and the aftermath that still exists. It is a lawless quarter, the open air drugs that happen. I mean, I was talking to a neighbor the other day. Actually, it was last month. And she was there with one of her kids and some guy is just doing drugs a few feet from her. Open air drug use. And she didn't even try to hide it. Her kids, I don't know, it was like 10 years old, eight years old, something. The kid asked, like, hey, mommy, what's going on here? And she said, well, son, I don't know what to tell you. He's doing drugs, just right there. And this is why downtown is in the position it is. Not because of COVID. No, not because of COVID didn't cause vagrancy to skyrocket. COVID didn't cause these tents to metastasize and open air drug use to take place. So the human feces that you see, I'm sorry, I don't know who wants to talk about that, but you know, it's exist. You have to step over it. You have to watch where you're going. There's certain times I'm in the park. I have to be vigilant as a dad where my toddlers are stepping. I wish I didn't, but we live in Seattle after all. And the local sentiment was captured. You know, Jenny Durkin wants to talk about rebirthing and rebirth and recreating. Fine. If you want to rebirth and recreate, there has to be a sense of public safety, right? You have to have a sense of safe public access. And this one small business owner, her name is Olga Sagan. She's the owner of Piroshki. It's a Seattle bakery chain. And one of her three store locations, according to the Seattle Times, two remain closed, including the bakery at 3rd Avenue and Pike Street, where some of these events are supposed to take place. And she says downtown right now is a very dark place. Well, it's a very dark space. It's not welcoming. It's not safe. It's not prone to tourists. I personally have a very hard time even staffing that location. Again, not because of COVID. Not because of this public epidemic of racism that apparently you can catch now, the public health crisis of racism. No, it's because it is unsafe. And everyone knows this. Jenny Durkin knows this. The business owners know this. The politicians know this. The activists know this. People are voting with their wallets and their feet. They are avoiding these areas because of the criminal activity. So you want to rebirth? You want to recreate? Fine. How about turn this into a normal city? A normal city that respects the rule of law. A normal city that actually has cops policing and providing quality of life assurances for those around it. I'm not going to take my kid. You know, I have many family events. I have four kids under the age of four. So are we
two sets of twins
two
just
sets
to
of
help
twins.
People with
two
that.
Sets of twins. I know it's going to blow your mind right there. Boom. My wife is the real hero, of course. So we always have our weekends are set aside for these family adventures, we call them. And not one of them, except for the local farmers market, has taken place. Not one of these adventures have taken place in Seattle. I will not risk something happening with one of my kids. We go to Edmonds. We go to Snohomish County, Pierce County. We go all over but Seattle. And frankly, I think a lot of other families have decided to do the same thing. So you want to rebirth and recreate? You know, A, get a new speechwriter. It sounds very weird and corny. But how about you start with some basic law and order practices, right? You cannot maintain any civil society when you have this type of breakdown and lawlessness. And speaking of breakdown and lawlessness, we are going to continue with the big local here. I know Dory has spoken a lot about the atrocity going on, really, at Broadview Thompson K through 8 school, right? And there's still about 56 tents around there on school property. It's amazing. Durkin has thrown her hands up. The school superintendent, the people in charge, the school board in charge of making sure that our kids are safe. Well, they're doing nothing until now. They have a plan now, Nicole. They have a plan. They have a plan to maybe deal with something. And their plan is to hire this organization called Anything Helps to assess the situation. They are going to assess the situation, and here is a local report on what is taking place on assessing the situation at Broadview School.
Deputy Superintendent Rob Gannon faced a room full of doubtful parents and neighbors as he spelled out the steps to clear a homeless camp bordering Broadview Thompson K-8.
Not confident, I'll put it that way.
I think they're very optimistic on their plan. I think they should have started this a lot longer ago.
Seattle Public Schools has contracted with Mike Mathias of Anything Helps. He's assessing the needs of the campers and then trying to connect them with individualized help and housing. Neighbors say the list of troubles at the encampment is long.
There's been a lot of...
That is like the understatement. The list of the troubles at the encampment is long. Oh, for real? Of course they're long. And the plan should have been... It should be already commencing. And the plan... Well, I'll finish with this report. But the plan is simple. You get them out off of school grounds. The access... I'm not going to finish with this report. You get the idea. But it's very simple. You can only have a carrot and stick approach if the stick is an option. And Seattle has multiple carrots. We enable this crisis. We create it and then enable it and then subsidize it. And if you don't have the stick, get off or you go to jail. Get off or we're going to forcibly remove you. Then for people who want to live autonomously, what incentive is it? What incentive is there to be removed voluntarily? These are people who are accustomed to, some of them are strung out of their minds. Some of them have serious mental health issues. If they're not going to be involuntarily committed, then something more than, well, you know, we're going to have a plan and we're going to assess the situation. We're going to offer you housing. You know how many groups go to these locations to offer housing? Union Gospel Mission, the Salvation Army. They're out like practically every single night. People are choosing to live on the streets. And when somebody chooses to live on the streets and not take place in civil society, you have a government for one reason: to protect the taxpayers and those who want to abide by the law. My name is Jason Matera. I am filling in for Dory Monson. We got a packed show for you today. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Good afternoon and welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. My name is Jason Matera here, guest hosting for Dory as he is out salmon fishing. And I learned, and maybe many of you learned, Dory doesn't even eat salmon. He doesn't even like salmon, but he's out there catching some massive fish.
I think people in his family do, so you know, he's the family.
I think he should go spread some of that wealth around. Stop by the studio afterward.
I bet you could come over. I'm sure he would. He would enjoy that.
I would enjoy it. I'm sure he is. Mm-hmm. Wild caught salmon. It tastes much better than the farm raised.
Well, you can catch either of those, right? So you have to, I learned this last year, like they put farm raised in there, but their fins are cut and you can only catch wild for a portion of the season and then the farm caught for a portion of the season or whatever, or farm raised or whatever.
But the farm raised is not swimming around the wild.
Uh-huh.
They just let it loose?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Something like that.
So how is it farmed? Where they raise it for a year or two? I don't know how this works. And then they just throw it out. All right, buddy. Go do your thing on your own.
We have to do some research on that. I don't remember how it works when they let them go.
Anyway.
But they do.
Oh, very. Look at that. Even the radio has learned something new. The intricacies and details of wild versus farm-raised salmon. Now, you may recall, because I know Dory spoke about it, but Biden, was it 2 weeks ago? Maybe last week. He gave a press conference and talked about how his administration was going to start going door to door to these low vaccinated communities. And there was going to be government agents and a partnership with these private organizations. And they were going to convince you, unwashed masses who have decided not to get vaccinated, to get the jab. Somehow, Joe Biden thought this would convince people. This was going for the holdouts that having people randomly show up at your house and say, hey, we know that by records you haven't been vaccinated, which right then and there is very, very creepy. Very, very Big Brother. Very, very much a government overreach that this would somehow work. Well, we're going to see how. We're going to see if it works or not. Now we can actually test if this works, because the program has started in three states. It started in North Carolina. It started in Georgia. It started in Wisconsin. Here is a report, a local report from North Carolina, where the program is underway.
Talking about the COVID vaccine could be coming right to your doorstep. Starting today, the Mecklenburg County Health Department launched a new Doses to Doors program. Health Department workers giving out shots right there at your front door. This is part of an urgent push to make getting vaccinated easy.
Make getting vaccinated easy. An urgent push, and it's happening like North Carolina, Wisconsin, and in Georgia. One of the partnership organizations, this group called Action North Carolina, it's a nonprofit. This guy, Robert Dawkins, says, we're not confrontational. It's not like you have to get the shot, but our job is to dispel rumors and things. Our job, imagine some guy coming up to you. Our job is to dispel rumors and things and things. Okay, thank you. Thank you for that clarification, man. But do you think it's going to work? I mean, what if somebody shows up to your house? How would you go ahead and greet them? Would you share your, I mean, chances are they somehow know or have made some type of educated guess that you are a household that is unvaccinated, but are you going to go ahead and not only divulge your medical privacy information and then say, okay, yeah, let me get vaccinated. Hey, and then someone like points to the car or somebody comes out of a van with a needle and it's going to go and give you the jab? I mean, people rarely get shots or like getting shots in the privacy of their doctor, right? Their primary care physician. And that's usually the people who you feel most comfortable administering those types of shots. Not some random guy named Robert Dawkins, who's there to dispel rumors and things, to offer you the Johnson & Johnson or the Moderna or the Pfizer and right from his van. It's like, I don't know if you remember this, Nicole, but we're sort of around the same age. Do you remember what there used to be door-to-door like knives salesmen or vacuum?
Oh, yeah.
Right,
oh,
with
yeah,
our parents.
The vacuum,
and yeah,
Kirby vacuum, I
yeah,
think.
They just show up and they give their presentation and whatever. Our parents either bought them or didn't. And I've seen a few of those presentations there.
I think they still have them. People
really?
Still come and sharpen the knives that they sold door to door.
They sharpen? Okay. I haven't seen something like that take place in 25 years.
It's happening.
Oh, it's still happening. But I remember as a kid watching it, and it has that same kind of vibe, right? This door-to-door vaccine. We're just going to show up at your place. I don't know you. You don't know me, but I'm going to convince you that you should get this vaccination, it technically is an experimental biological agent, and jab it in your arm from a stranger. I don't see how the Biden administration thinks that this is a good and workable idea, especially if you are trying to increase the number of vaccinated and unvaccinated communities.
It's peer pressure. They're hoping peer pressure works,
think. But if somebody comes to my door, I hope somebody comes to my door. But I'm just saying, if somebody comes to my door, well, you know what I'll do?
What are you going to do?
I'm going to do this. It's an idea. I am going to tell the person that I identify as Black. And, you know, Blacks in America have a very uncomfortable relationship with vaccines. Remember, the government did the syphilis experiment on them for decades. So I'm going to tell the person I identify as Black and I'm uncomfortable because of my racial identity talking to you about a vaccine and let them deal with that.
Okay.
I think they'll turn around and walk away, but they wouldn't be expecting that
one. I don't think that you're the person they're looking for. I mean, you might be, but they're looking for anybody, but I think they're hoping that this works on at least, the number of people they need to get to
but
their
it's
their
too
numbers.
Much. It's when you have, here's my objection. I don't care if someone gets the vaccine or doesn't get, honestly, I don't care. I'm genuinely, if you think it's good for you, get it. Sure. If you think it's not good for you, whatever. I mean, we live in a free country And we've had the left tell us for decades now, my body, my choice, when it comes to slaughtering an unborn baby in a womb. But yet now, when it comes to injecting something in your body, it's no longer your body, your choice. Okay, no, it is your. I genuinely believe that. So I don't care. But if the job is to raise the critical mass of vaccinations, this is, I think, only going to deter people. It's only going to come across as more political. It's only going to come across as more Big Brother. Like, why do you keep trying to badger people if it's available? If somebody chooses not to, then they are taking a personal responsibility in that it's their risk now. It is purely their risk. Because even everyone's, the cases are rising. You heard the news report, Delta variant. Oh, this is going to be a variant. Oh, okay. If it hits a person who's vaccinated, they have very low symptoms. They're asymptomatic. We just, the New York Yankees and the Boston Red Sox, their game had to be postponed because six Yankees turned up as tested COVID. They've all been vaccinated. They had no symptoms. But yet, you know, it's going to happen. We care about hospitalizations and severe illnesses. Apparently, the vaccine ameliorates those significantly. So if a person doesn't want it, fine. They're the ones that are at risk. I don't care, right? You shouldn't care either. Enough is enough. And this push by the Biden administration is only going to turn more people off. And then this, I mean, especially here in Seattle, it's so obnoxious. You go into a restaurant. I don't know if this happened to you, Nicole. This happened to me a few times where I go in and I go in without a mask. Excuse me. You have to have a mask. Why? Why do I need a mask? You know, we're open. Well, can you prove to me you've been vaccinated?
Oh, really? I have not yet.
Twice.
Once been asked.
Twice. Can you show me your? Can you? Yes, in the city. In the city. Can you show? And it's like some purple-haired, nose ring, obnoxious nuisance, right? Who's just said, "Can you prove to me you've been vaccinated?" Like, get out of my. And people are just, oh yeah, you know, I see people. Here's my card. Here's my card. It's in matter the amount of medical privacy that people are willing to just give away. Is astonishing. Oh, it's no big deal. No, it is a big deal. And Chip, when that happens, we usually go to another restaurant because on the principle of it, on the principle of it. And I usually, because I ask them to prove to me that they don't have AIDS. Can you prove to me you don't have AIDS?
Or anything else?
Or anything like, else,
a
right?
Cold,
can
a
you
cold?
Prove to me you don't have a cold? Can you prove to me? Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's an outrageous. Is my response outrageous? Of course it is. But I'm not asking people their medical... Prove to me you don't have an STD. Prove to me. It's like we have to walk around with these cards showing what we do and do not have. No. Liberty and privacy are hallmarks of our country.
Hey, really quick before we break here. I just have to clear this up because our text machine has been blowing up here. It's hatchery fish that they allow back into the wild. So those ones get their fins cut so that you know they're hatchery fish. So they have a hatchery and a wild season, or they break it up into sections when you can catch each of them. And then, of course, farm-raised are entirely farm-raised, okay?
So I should clarify.
I mixed up the hatchery versus farm.
Okay, and I should clarify something too, Nicole. I don't really care if somebody has, you know, some sort of disease is serving me. I don't really want the answer to that question. It's the principle of it. And generally, we go to another restaurant because I don't want that person serving me now anyway.
Right. But it's training us to be okay with those questions.
I know. Mm-hmm. Absolutely outrageous. All right. Which is outrageous is we have the government now, the Biden administration, asking Facebook to deplatform people, to ban accounts if they are engaging in what they describe as misinformation. We'll be back with that on the Dory Monson Show. My name is Jason Matera. And welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. My name is Jason Matera. I am your guest host today while Dory is out fishing some salmon. And we got to make a clarification now. Mea culpa. Not on my end.
Yep, no.
Not the guest host.
I guess I've screwed up twice now.
Formidable producer, Nicole here.
Right. So I just received a text from Dory, who apparently is on a boat listening to us talk about him. And I got a clarification, so I'll just play that for everybody. Here you go.
So, Nicole, Tom insisted that we listen to the beginning of the show. And he heard what you said. He heard you say that I don't like fish.
and love salmon. And Tom was pissed.
I'm crushed.
He was pissed. I'm crushed.
And furthermore, you don't like fish? Are you kidding me? This is, you've just, nobody's ever fed you fish, kid. Just all there is to it. We got to fix that.
And then they both shake their heads. But let me just, you know, clarify, Dory does not like fish. Dory likes salmon, I believe. Maybe he likes some other fish. I don't know.
I don't know. You have to stop right now.
He does not like seafood. He does not like Chinese food. He does not like Thai food.
He doesn't like Chinese food?
He likes nothing. He likes pizza and burgers. Steak and pizza.
I can't disagree with him there. Those are all fine foods.
Right.
Even not like General Tso's chicken?
No. He won't touch it. He won't.
I don't know if this, that's not really authentic Chinese food, though. That's just the Americanized, unhealthy version.
No,
not even that? Okay.
Nothing. And no vegetables either. No vegetables.
But who likes vegetables? Nobody likes vegetables. You got to
cook them right.
Well, if you fry them, if you have like fried green beans.
Oh, yeah.
But that completely nullifies the benefit of the vegetable.
Yeah.
So,
but he won't even do that.
He won't even touch that.
No.
Okay.
But anyway, so, you know, I may have gotten this one thing wrong, but I mean, he is the world's pickiest.
No more clarifications from you for the rest of the show. That's my job, is to issue clarifications and mea culpas as the guest host, because that's what happens when you're the guest host. It's not the Jason Matera show. It's the Dory Monson show.
I just won't give information anymore. I'll just keep my mouth shut over here and react.
Well, someone who needs to really keep their mouth shut is Jen Psaki. I know it's hard to do. She's the press spokesperson, the White House spokesperson for Joe Biden. And this is an amazing exchange that really started yesterday. But just to set it up real quickly, is Jen Psaki gave a press conference with the she was either preceded by or followed by the U.S. Surgeon General, and they were talking about COVID vaccine misinformation. And they classify misinformation as information that they don't agree with or they don't like. And they encouraged Facebook in particular to start censoring people, to start deplatforming people. They identified 12. This is scary. The government has spied on and identified, really, follow 12 people they've considered to be giving out misinformation, which, again, is information they don't agree with. So rather than combat that information with more information or different information and have the person make up their mind, they just want that misinformation, what they call misinformation, banned. This is coming from the government. The government working in cahoots with big tech here. If Donald Trump did anything like this, we would rightly hear the outcries of fascism. But it's Joe Biden, so this is acceptable fascism. It's okay. So Peter Ducey from Fox News decides to follow up with Jen Psaki, and surely she doesn't think the government should be spying on these individuals and encouraging Facebook to deplatform users on the basis of speech they don't like. Well, no, she actually does think Facebook should be doing this. Here's the exchange that just went down a few hours ago.
For how long has the administration been spying on people's Facebook profiles looking for vaccine misinformation?
Well, that was quite a loaded and inaccurate question, which I would refute. Well, Peter, first of all, as you know, we're in a regular touch with a range of media outlets. As we are in regular touch with social media platforms. This is publicly open information, people sharing information online, just as you are all reporting information on your news stations.
Okay, so these 12 people who you have on a list, 12 individuals, do they know that somebody at the Surgeon General's office is going through their profile?
I'm happy to get you the citation of where that comes from. There's no secret list. I will tell you that these are people who are sharing information on public platforms on Facebook, information that is traveling, is inaccurate. Our biggest concern here, and I frankly think it should be your biggest concern, is the number of people who are dying around the country because they're getting misinformation.
There's no citation for that, dying around the country because they're getting misinformation. But Jen Psaki did say something interesting. She called Facebook a public platform. If it's a public platform, the government cannot censor it. And yet, that's what they want to do. Whole big tech needs to be broken up considerably. Jason Matera here filling in for Dory Monson. Up next, we have the fastest 15, including, did you know that crossword puzzles are racist? For real. We'll get to that. Be back in a flash.